The sermon today is entitled The Four How Longs, and it's based on Psalm 13, verses 1 to 6. Let me begin by asking two questions. Do you ever feel deserted by people you trusted, especially when they are faithful and godly people? Do you ever feel forsaken by God? Feelings of abandonment, either by God or man, are not something anyone would cherish. Psalm 13, authored by King David, is one such a psalm in which we find how David had feelings that he had been abandoned by faithful, godly men and even by God himself. From David's experience, we can understand and learn how to manage ourselves when we have such feelings. When David wrote Psalm 13, he was in a bad state. He was very stressed, depressed, and exhausted, physically and emotionally. This psalm was probably written at a time when David was in great difficulty, being pursued by King Saul, whom he had troubles with for some years, or he could be in hiding in the cave of Adullam from the Philistines who were pursuing him. Whatever it is, David was in grave physical danger and in a desperate situation, feeling isolated, fearful, rejected, dispirited, discouraged, and hopeless. He had tried every possible desperate means to be one step ahead of his unrelenting, pursuing enemies in order to escape from their clutches. From these terrible experiences, David was able to pen his thoughts and prayers into a psalm. In such terrible situations, he felt he could not go on like this anymore. Always on the run, always on tender hooks, and always in dread. It was a dreadful feeling to be hunted. The hunter was not visible, and David was in fear that he could be watching and hiding somewhere, waiting to pounce on him. He felt he could not continue for another minute, another hour or day. David was at the end of his tether, at his wits' ends, and at a loss as to what to do and how to get out of these dire situations. It was when David had reached the nadir of his emotion, frustration, helplessness, and desperation that he started to turn to God, and God began to work on him. There is a saying, man's extremity is God's opportunity. It is applicable to us as well. When we are at our wits' end, when we are extremely stressed for whatever reason, without any resources to turn to for help, and we are confused and at a loss as to what to do, and attempting to find out how to escape, this is the time when we humbly turn to God. Only then will we see His work beginning in and with us. Before proceeding any further, there are two things we must know. The first is this. A feeling of abandonment is more common than we realized. This is because not many would share this feeling with others. Many feel abandoned by people first, but in the end, they feel that God abandons them also. That becomes not only a psychological issue, but a spiritual problem. The affected individuals feel that nobody cares about them. With this feeling comes the feeling of rejection by God. He does not care either. There is the feeling that God has left them to themselves. They feel lonely. The second is this. There is no helpful resource or literature to deal with this feeling of abandonment by God, especially for believers. One may ask, why is that so? This is probably due to the fact that believers are taught that they do not or should not experience such problems. and that there is no room for such depression or feeling of abandonment by God. Some teach that believers should be rich, live an abundant, joyous, healthy, and victorious life. If they are not, then their fellow brethren may wonder if these people are saved. As a result, many believers will not admit and discuss these feelings for fear of being branded as not saved or not right with God, or in my experience, under demonic influence. We must take note that God never promised us that we would be rich when we are saved. He never promised us that we would have a good, peaceful, trouble-free and healthy life. Never. If we expect and believe that, then we have listened to a perverted gospel. Believers should have no fear of admitting to a feeling of abandoned by God or by fellow brethren, and even depression. We find in this psalm how David gave us an example to follow. He talked about it. This David, described in God's word as a person who was after God's own heart, had the courage to let it out. He ventilated his feelings. He felt that feeling of abandonment by God and of his depression and frustration, and he said so. From this, we can learn from David and his experiences and how he went from fear, despair, hopelessness, depression, and frustration to a turnaround to seek God's help and place his complete trust in God. For this message entitled The Four How Longs from Psalm 13 as a sermon text, I would like to cover the following areas. Firstly, feeling of abandonment in verses 1 and 2, which expresses David's feeling of abandonment, misery, and dejection. Secondly, turn around to seek God in verses 3 and 4, where David turns to and asks God for help. And thirdly, and finally, recovery to trust God in verses 5 and 6, which expresses David's recovered trust in God and rejoicing. We begin with the first main point and find out how David went through this feeling of abandonment by God and his misery and dejection. Let us read together verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Let us read together. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Amen. From these two verses, we get a sense of David's deep and awful feeling of abandonment. Note, firstly, David's two important words, how long, which are repeated four times in these two verses. By repeating these words four times, it conveys to us that David's struggle must have been going on for some period of time, and this is perhaps the most important cause of David's feeling of abandonment and misery. Why is that so? In a short term, when we are in distress, whether it's a failure in relationships, social life, business, study and exams, or even in church fellowship, we may be oblivious of God's presence. We may be mystified of his apparent silence when we do not seem to get an answer to our petition. We ask, why, God? Why is this happening to me? In such a situation, we try to be patient, and we trust that God has his reasons to be silent. We still believe in God, and we still believe he is present somewhere, and in his good time and in his will, he will answer our prayers. However, when the wait for God's help is long-term, dragging into weeks, months, and even years, and especially when we are in distress and in need of desperate comfort and relief, we begin to ask like what David asked in verse 1, forever? Is it going to be forever? Why is God not answering our prayers? Has God forgotten? Why so long? Our thoughts leads us to wonder if our distress or our feeling of abandonment will ever end. This leads to a long drawn out struggle. In this long drawn out or prolonged struggle, what were David's thoughts? From verses 1 and 2, we see a progression of David's feelings. He went from forget to hide thy face, and then take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily, and finally, mine enemy be exalted over me. Verse 1 reads, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? God had promised David that he would be the next king of Israel. When God makes a promise, it will come to fruition. But for David, in his depressed and fearful state, his coronation day seemed to be getting further and further away. He could not see that day would come. He probably thought that his coronation might not happen at the way things were going for him. King Saul was doing wicked things, and God did not appear to be taking action against him. David, on the other hand, was doing good things, but God did not seem to help him. David felt forsaken by God. He was indeed troubled by what the adversary was doing. Actually, he was more concerned by what the Lord was not doing to help him. Therefore, David asked the first how long in verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? From this verse, we gather that David felt that God had forgotten him. He added, forever? David asked God if he had forgotten him and his petitions forever. This is what David was really saying. Come on, God. I have asked for your help repeatedly, and yet you have not helped me. Have you forgotten me? Is this going to be forever? In the same verse, David also asked, which is the second how long? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Now, David went one step further. It means more than just forgotten by God. David was feeling worse, and he asked, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? He did not feel that God had forgotten him, but worse than that, he thought that the Lord had now forsaken him. When God's face shines on us, it means that God is good and favorable to us or blessing us. Therefore, the words, hide thy face, indicates the withdrawing of God's presence and help, and that the times of blessing or favors have ceased. For believers, the worst thing that can happen is for them to be out of touch with God when God seems to hide his face from us. This can happen in a few areas in our lives. In our spiritual lives, when we first receive the Lord in our hearts, we seem to achieve spiritual victories and mature progressively. After a while, some of us feel that we are in a deepening slump. We may ask questions like, is God punishing me for my past sins? Has God abandoned me and forever? No, God had not abandoned us. We are the ones who have not been faithful. Another area where God seems to hide his face from us is in our church work. Initially, we are enthusiastic. We are heavily involved in committees, Bible study groups, fellowship groups, going to missions, administration, etc. As time progresses, our family responsibilities and study, work, social and business commitments overwhelmed us. Our spiritual growth seems to be at a standstill. Has God withdrawn his blessings? Has he forsaken us? No, God did not withdraw his blessings. It is us who have been overwhelmed by the world. We have placed God aside. Another area is in our work. There were rapid progress and success in the early days. But as time progresses, the successes and progress seem to level off. We do not seem to enjoy our work any longer. Has God withdrawn His blessings on our work? No, God did not withdraw His blessings. We have become complacent or wearied with our work. We left Him out of decision making. He is no longer head of our work management team. One other area where God appears to hide His face from us is in our family relationships. The happiness of the early days of marriage, replaced in the later years by the stress of personality conflicts, bringing up children, health problems, rebellious children, etc. The wedding ring has become the suffer ring. Has God forsaken and forgotten us? No, God has not forgotten or forsaken us. It is us who have forgotten and forsaken Him. He is no longer the head of the house. David felt that God had forgotten and forsaken him. Now he asked, how long for the third time? He went a notch further, and his mind was in turmoil. In verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? So David asks in the first part of verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? In the New International Version, it is translated as in this part of the verse, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? We are given an insight into David's thoughts. Obviously, his mind was in turmoil. He was having dark, terrible, negative thoughts and strong emotional reactions. David felt he had been abandoned, and so he was alone. In such a situation, he tried to take counsel in my soul, and that means he was thinking of various ways to overcome the threats and his enemies. Many ideas and many options to think and consider. Unfortunately, despite his many ideas and options, nothing satisfied him. And he said, day after day, have sorrow in my heart. He was very down, sorrowful, and depressed. When we feel that God's blessing is not with us, there is a tendency for us to reflect on our failures. And this in turn gets us into deeper depression. Depression can be unbearable and can be worse than physical pain. People who have never suffered depression or involved in management of depression will find this hard to understand. It is difficult to get back on a level and normal course once our emotions take over. In such a state, the thoughts of giving up what we are doing are real. Why? This is because there is no reasonable time or even difficulty to settle down for calm reflection and to have a rational review of past blessings. There are 2 points to consider. Firstly, we have to recognize that some people are more prone to depression than others. We must understand this. We must not say that people who are depressed are under demonic influences or God has punished them. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that among all causes of spiritual depression, the principal cause is temperament. Quoting from James Montgomery Boyce, quoting, knowing that one is temperamentally inclined to depression may not cure the depression, but it is an important factor to weigh when evaluating your condition, unquote. Secondly, physical causes can be the cause of dark, negative, and disquieting thoughts and emotions. One such cause is illness. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, suffered from severe spells of depression and also from episodes of acute gout. A gout attack is very painful, and the pain from gout drained him of energy and causing him to suffer depression. The physical pain needs to be fixed first in this case. All forms of tiredness, fatigue, illness, and stress are also causes. For example, a mother who cannot have quality sleep from many nights of a distressed baby crying with colic will feel tired, exhausted, and may feel abandoned. It is difficult to ask this mother to turn to God when she is physically and emotionally drained. The baby needs to be relieved of colic before the mother can sleep peacefully. Another physical cause is a letdown after effort. An example is Elijah's depression after he had accomplished the great victory over the priest of Baal on Mount Carmel. After that, he became very depressed and thought that he was the only faithful person left in Israel. What Elijah needed after his accomplishment was rest and nourishment. And God provided that soon after. That will be in 1 Kings chapter 19. And he recovered. David felt God had forgotten him, then forsaken him. And this was followed by his depression. Next, David asked the next how long in verse 2, the second part of verse 2. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? And this is translated as, how long will my enemy triumph over me in the New International Version? David now reached a stage where he was not in control of his emotions. He probably said something like this, I have had it. It is too much for me. I cannot handle anymore. The enemy is winning. His feelings had brought him to a low point. In the apparent absence of God, David was not able to deal with his enemies. Then he asked, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? King Saul appeared to have the upper hand and sure to win. With the kingdom's resources at his disposal and were utilized not to fight the Philistines, but to harass and hunt for David, the pressure was on. By now, David was really wearied by the enemy, but now was even more concerned that God was doing nothing for him. The word enemy does not necessarily mean an individual, and here it is probably referring to a large number like King Saul and his military force. Saul's persecutions probably lasted for 8 or 9 years, and there was no let up or hope of termination in the horizon. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any cause of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Amen. All believers have at least one spiritual enemy, and he is Satan. This spiritual enemy is far worse than any of our physical human enemies. The Apostle Peter says that Satan, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. This roaring lion is seeking to destroy us. Listen to what Martin Lloyd-Jones said about Satan, and I quote, the devil is the adversary of our souls. He can use our temperaments and our physical condition. He also deals with us that we allow our temperament to control and govern us instead of keeping temperament where it should be kept. There's no end to the ways the devil produces spiritual depression. We must also bear him in mind, unquote. So, beware of the devil. Never allow him to have the upper hand in us. David felt that God had forgotten him. Then he felt God had forsaken him. He went into deep depression and then felt that his enemy had triumphed over him. He had no other options. He had come to the deepest of his emotions. He needed to get out of his depression. He needed to recover the sense of God's presence. Now, there is a sparkle. He prayed to God. He made a turnaround to God. Who would be his resource and recourse? He turned around to seek God. Let us read together verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Amen. In verses 1 and 2, David had been crying out to God, certainly in an emotional way. He was in serious danger. Rather than being the hunter, he was hunted. For fear that his enemy would kill him, he was too afraid to sleep. Yet, he needed more sleep and rest. Without quality sleep and rest, he could not think straight and rationally. So, finally, he asked the Lord God to protect him and to give him sleep. Now he turned to rational and thoughtful prayer to God. For believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how deep is the depression, there is always an awareness of this truth. When everything is against us, there is one door that is always open to us, and that is God will hear our prayer. When we harbor feelings of abandonment, this means we know that God is there. To be abandoned in the first place, someone needs to abandon us. That someone is God. No matter what our feelings are, God will love us and will be faithful to us. So, what can we do when we are in a situation like David was in? We follow the example of David. We pray. I must stress that this does not mean that we do not seek professional help if our depression is severe. Sometimes, God wants us to seek professional help to persevere and to work through our dark thoughts. Above all, we need to pray to God consistently and urgently, especially about our feelings of abandonment. In verse 3, David made three requests. First request is consider. Consider me. David made a petition to God to fix his eyes on him and to examine him. He asked God to turn around and look at his direction. He felt that God was no longer speaking to him and would not speak to him again. So, his second request is, hear me. David requested God to answer his prayer and to send him some kind of encouragement. He asked God to answer his questions. He felt that all was lost and that his enemy would triumph or exalt him. David felt his enemy would succeed in finding him eventually and killed him. So he asked God with his third request. His third request is, lighten mine eyes. That is, enlightened David's eyes. David asked God to preserve him and to restore him to full physical and mental health. If God did not enlighten David's eyes, then he said these words, lest I sleep the sleep of death. The word sleep of are in italics. Literally, it should be, lest I sleep the death. Quoting from Albert Vance, a 19th century Presbyterian minister, quoting, the idea is that death, whose approach was indicated by the dimness of vision, was fast stealing over him as asleep, and that unless his clearness of vision were restored, it would soon end in total darkness, the deep and profound sleep of death, unquote. If God did not preserve and restore him, David would die. Not only would David die if God did not come to deliver him, David said in verse 4, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Amen. The enemy would say they had triumphed and were victorious over David. David did not want this to happen. He also did not want those that troubled me, who were his enemies, to rejoice, meaning a shout as in triumph, when he was moved from his steadfastness or firmness. If David were to hesitate, the people of the land would think that God was not able to fulfill his own promises. What if God did not answer David's prayers? David would be in trouble. The enemy would rejoice. This rejoicing of the enemy would not only be against David, but also against God. So he prays that the enemy will not be victorious. David felt that God had forgotten him and forsaken him. He went into deep depression and then felt that his enemy had triumphed over him. He needed to get out of his depression. He needed to recover the sense of God's presence. So he made a turnaround to God, who would be his resource and recourse. He prayed to God. He asked God to consider and hear him and to restore him to physical and mental health. God must take note of David's plight and send help quickly in order to prevent two disasters. The first would be David's death, and the second would be the joyous boasting of his enemies. After going through sorrow, David continues in prayer, and he finally settles back and recovers his wonderful faith and trust in God. Let us read verses 5 and 6 together. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Amen. At last, real relief came to David's troubled soul. Though there was no record of God's answer or intervention in this psalm, David said in verse 5, But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Amen. His trust was based on God's mercy, favor, friendship, promises, and loving kindness. The idea here is that David trusted in the mercy of God. He still trusted and would continue to trust him forever. His confidence and faith in God would never fade. With all his heart, he rejoiced in God's salvation. What is this salvation? This salvation does not refer to salvation in the future world, as in going to heaven. It does not mean that King Saul was removed from the throne. It does not mean that God sent his angels or David's men to help him. This salvation means his deliverance from his present situation. Going through a time of trial and testing, David had moved through tears to truth and through truth to rejoicing. How did David move so quickly from dejection to joy? How did David transform from crying one day to rejoicing in joy in the next? He did not see a counselor, social worker, psychologist, or psychiatrist. The secret is found in the preceding verses 3 and 4 of the psalm. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. David fixed his eyes firmly and surely on the Lord his God, his Jehovah, his Elohim. He found true peace and security by his complete trust in and commitment of his dilemma to the Lord. David was victorious. All that David needed was God's mercy or steadfast love. God's mercy never fails. Isaiah chapter 63 verse 9. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them, and carried them all the days of old. Amen. God's people do not live on explanations or clarifications, but on his promises. These promises are as unchanging as the immutable character of God. David depended on God's promises. In his rejoicing, David went on in verse 6, I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. Was there any change in David's immediate situations? Did David's men come to help him? Did King Saul call off the hunt for him? Was King Saul dead? Did God send his angels to protect and deliver him? The answer to all these questions is no. Nothing had changed. Yet David rejoiced and he sang in verse 6, first part of verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord. He sang because God had not changed and he had been merciful to him. And also because God, in the second part of verse 6, had dealt bountifully with me, that's David. Let's read again verse 6, the second part. He had dealt bountifully with me. David used the past tense. Why did he do that? David was so certain that there would be a change in his precarious situation that David supposed that it had already happened. That was a good reason for him to sing, to praise God. When David used the word bountifully, it means that, quoting from Albert Vance, quoting, God has shown him kindness or favor and had thus laid the foundation of gratitude and praise. The psalm closes, therefore, with expressions of joy, thankfulness, triumph. Though it begins with depression and sadness, it ends with joy. Unquote. With David's experience as our example, we must also accept the unchangeable nature of God and his promises. With that in mind, in whatever troubles we are in, God will always be there for us. He will be merciful and show kindness to us. He will help us to cope and to get ourselves out of troubles. Psalm 13 is a psalm in which we find David in a stressful situation and possess feelings that he had been abandoned by faithful, godly men and even by God himself. David felt that God had first forgotten him, then he felt God had forsaken him. He went into deep depression and then felt that his enemy had triumphed over him. He came to the deepest of his emotions and needed to get out of it. He needed to recover the sense of God's presence. So he made a turnaround to pray to God, who would be his resource and recourse. At last, real relief came to David's troubled soul. He trusted on God's mercy and he rejoiced at his deliverance from harm by singing praises to God. From this psalm, we learn how he went from fear, despair, hopelessness, depression, and frustration to a turnaround to seek God's help and place his complete trust in God. There's something we can learn from David and his experiences. When we are in trouble and in a difficult situation in our lives, think of David. Like David, we can go to the Lord, and he will help us to go through the trial and testing with peace, joy, and triumph. May God bless you all. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this very instructive psalm, where we learn how David got over his stress, his frustration, his fear, his depression when he was in the deepest of trouble, and how he turned and committed to Thee all his concerns and fears to Thee. Help us, Lord, when we go through trials and testing, that we go through them with peace, joy, and triumph. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.